Well, Dwayne, let's do this one more time, huh? What do you say?
At least one more time.
That's always, yeah, we got it at least one more time. So, hey, good day to everybody that listens to this little podcast of ours. We enjoy it, and I hope you do too. It's always fun. It's something that we do for fun, and we get better. You get better. It's a win-win for everyone, right?
Win-win. Love that.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening, y'all.
Absolutely.
Thanks to our patrons that donate their hard-earned money to this effort, just to help pay some of the bills, keep the train on the tracks.
Yep.
The lights turned on, the heat on, all that good stuff. Thank you so much. Appreciate that very much. So,
I don't know if we talked about how to become a patron. If
not in a while, No. You want to mention some of that?
Yeah. You can just go to patreon.com, mm-hmm. Search for Rule 11 Officials, or just go, I think it's patreon.com/rule11, and I'll get you to our page. So,
there you go.
Yep.
What's new with you, Dwayne? What's going on this week?
Well, by the time this airs, I will hopefully worked my first spring game.
There you go.
At least college game, high school game. Mm-hmm. But so looking forward to that as we're recording. So hopefully everything goes off without a hitch.
Yep.
And maybe we'll talk about that next time, but obviously you and I will talk about it.
Absolutely.
And privately, but yeah.
So yeah, always
that's kind of the big thing on my agenda.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. About yourself, how are things?
Good.
Yeah.
Yes, things are good. We had a few nice days, so was able to get outside and do a few things. I got this big old project going on right now, Dwayne, in the back, and I'm taking this thing serious now. Okay. I'm really putting an effort into making a little bit of a, you know, if you like to play lawn bowling or bocce ball or maybe a little yard tennis, it's going to be firm and fast when it's all done this summer.
Yeah.
So, but well, I got a lot of prep work to do, a lot of drain work, you know, I got to make sure the water gets out of there. Going to bring in a bunch of sand. It's going to be great. So I'm going to actually have to send, when it's all done,
yeah,
we'll have to post some photos because this is going to be at
Please
least
post.
4 months worth of hard labor to get this tee box the way I want it. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be great.
So knowing you how I know you, I wouldn't be surprised if the bocce ball tour rolled through your field when it's completed.
Here's the deal. It's going to have a little home court advantage because I got some grade and some slope. So you're going to have to know those grades.
Yeah.
It ain't flat completely. So
I wonder how you can, you know, on PGA, you know, they submit venues for US Opens and things like that.
Bring it.
I have to figure out the bocce ball.
Bring it.
Tour. Submission process.
It might not meet specs because it's not flat enough. Because if you're a right-handed golfer and you're good at the right to left putts,
yeah,
this is going to be your bread and butter right here. Well, I guess it depends on which way you're going. If you're going west to east, it's left to right. If you're going east to west, it's left to right, right to left. So
true.
No. So it's been good. It's been a good week. Not bad. It's
awesome.
Hey, the you know what I wanted to mention is the rule exchange. Mr. John Braun has gotten underway this week.
Yes.
So hopefully all of you all that have joined in the past, joined again, and are enjoying that part of getting better.
Yeah. Thanks again to John for continuing that. It's a good learning tool. And every year somebody comes up with something a couple times during the challenge that I'm like, oh, wow. And I hadn't even thought of that. So,
absolutely.
So yeah, good learning experience.
Okay. Let's see. I think we had an email we wanted to touch on, huh? What do you say?
Yeah, we got a pretty good email we wanted to read. Let's see. So this one's from James Moscarello. Hopefully I got that right. And he, I think he's in New Jersey. So another East Coaster. Mm-hmm. So he says, Dwayne and Tyler, wanted to first thank you for all that you guys are doing for officiating. Love the podcast and am currently on show 13, with the desire to get caught up to current shows this offseason. So he's a newer listener, but he's catching up. Mm-hmm. So he did skip to the golf episode, which is one of his passions.
Mm-hmm.
And he credits some of his success to the connections made as a complete stranger at the four-man scramble golf outing of the clinic in his first year of officiating, NCAA officiating.
Yeah.
He's currently in his fourth season, working in at the FCS level, working the third year for the CIP, which is Colonial, mm-hmm. Ivy, and Patriot League Conferences. Mm-hmm. And his goal is to get a shot at the FBS.
There you go.
Perfect. He tells a little story. He lives in New Jersey, Robbinsville. Was assigned to work a Thursday night game at Gannon University in Erie, Pennsylvania in 2011. He left his house at 8 a.m. that Thursday morning.
Thursday morning, okay.
And drove a little over 2 hours to meet part of the crew in York, Pennsylvania. From there, we drove another 3.5 hours to pick up our referee in Punxsutawney, PA. Punxsutawney Phil, right?
Yeah.
The
Groundhog's Day.
Yeah. Dave Blair is the referee. The last leg of the trip was another 2.5 hours to the school. We worked what was a great game, didn't mess it up too much. Headed straight back that night. Luckily, I got the rest for two-thirds of the trip, first two-thirds. Got home at 7 a.m. So it was 23 hours since his initial departure. So a lot of us can relate to these long drives. So cool story.
That's crazy.
And then he had a quote from Milt Halstead.
Yes, share that.
Yeah. I think he's a conference supervisor. He said to the new officials, give us 3 years. You're either going to hate it, we'll hate you, or you could be on to something. Needless to say, I love it and embrace every challenge. Feeling as though the difficulty of the early years is an important barrier to entry. So
that's so great.
Yep. So good, great. Good email, good stuff in there. Thanks, James, and good luck to you.
Yeah, if you want a definition of doing it for the kids, that's it right there. And you know, if you got another one of those trips coming up, you can almost get a whole season in one of those trips if you download them all. You
know, oh yeah,
you're trying to catch up. You can get at least season two in that 23-hour drive, probably. So
yeah,
no, that's there a great story. Thank you for the wonderful email as always. That's pretty cool. So keep on trucking and keep working. Good stuff.
Keep on trucking.
Hey, we're going to do another 2021 Rule 11 challenge today, right?
We are.
And what's it all about again? Just to refresh to people.
Oh, yeah. So Rule 11 challenge, it's simple. We just ask you a question or a play scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And you win some Rule 11 swag. You don't even have to get the question right. So
just participate.
So because it's all about learning, we walk through it together, and it's just a different thing. So
yeah, trying something.
We've gotten a good response to it. So
we have a backlog. Okay,
we do have a little backlog. So if you emailed us, we have you on the list.
Yes,
we randomly choose someone.
Correct.
And then we go from there. So there you go.
Very cool. Okay.
Yep.
You're going to mention, we want to mention who was on today, or we'll do it when we,
we'll wait till he comes on.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. So let's see. That's about all we got. Let's jump on the phone with our guest today. How about that? Want to do that?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Hold tight. Hey, we got Matt Barth on the phone. He's our participant for today. We're really excited. Matt, how are you?
Doing well. Well. You guys are doing well.
Yes, everybody's great. Everybody's great.
Thank you for being a willing participant.
That's right.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So, tell us a little about yourself. Where are you from? Occupation, number of years officiating, conference, things like that. What position you work?
Yeah. Well, I'm from a little town called Kearney in the middle of Nebraska. And I'm a physical therapist and I kind of dabble a little bit in personal training. Also a little bit of athletic training background too. So that's what I do kind of Monday through Friday. And from an officiating standpoint, that started about, I think, 8 years ago now. I got asked by our pastor at a local church if I'd be interested. I played small college ball, but I'd never thought about officiating at all. Never even entered my mind. And one day he stopped me and said they were looking for a sub for their high school crew, and was wondering if I'd be interested. And said, "Why not? What do I got to lose?" And joined them. I think I did 5 varsity contests that year, primarily a lot of 8-man. You guys, if you know what that is.
Mm-hmm. We do. Yes. We got it.
A lot of 8-man football. And
that's 8 players, right?
8 players. That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. And that grew. And I really enjoyed it. And was officiating high school for about 5 years when I got an invite to go do a JV game in our local NAIA conference, in the GPAC, the Great Plains Athletic Conference. And they still play some JV games in the fall on Mondays. And the crew was short, 2 guys. And I was one of the guys that got, I guess I wasn't even the one who got asked. My brother-in-law, who is our white hat on our crew, he had got asked and asked if I wanted to go with. And that was my first introduction to college football. And absolutely loved it. It was the last JV game of the season that year. I think that was 2017. And I went to a camp that following spring. And I guess it's just all kind of gone downhill from there. I've been a full-time member. I've been a back judge in the GPAC conference, NAIA level, for the past 2 years. I've had a chance to do a junior college game a couple years ago, and just hoping to move up. So
there we go.
Awesome.
Listen, this is going to be exciting. So let's give this a shot. Dwayne, you want to share your normal thing? Oh, I probably got to give you the sharing thing again because I did. hold on. Let me cancel that.
So we're going to show you the question. We're going to read it aloud as you read along. Then you can just answer it as you
I'll see. Do my best.
Should be able to share now, Dwayne.
Yep. Here it comes. All right. Can you see that question?
Now I can. Yep.
All right. Cool. So do you want to read it, Tyler, or shall I?
Go ahead. You're on a good roll. Keep it rolling.
All right. So a 4th and 10. We love 4th and 10. At the B45, A's punt is partially blocked by B11, and the kick lands near the sideline at the B38. As the ball is rolling on the ground, A12 bats the ball forward at the B34, and it rolls out of bounds at the B21.
Okay. This is all different now that I'm kind of on the spot here.
Yeah.
So let's see. Yeah. A's punt's partially blocked, B11. It does cross the neutral zone and lands near the sideline, does not go out of bounds. Ball's running on the ground. A12 bats the ball forward. B34, and it rolls out of bounds at the B21. So as it was partially blocked within or behind the neutral zone. So when A bats that ball,
we're gonna help a little bit.
No, that's so fine.
So let's let's just start with the result of the play. Where's it's what's the result?
Result of the play is the ball lands out of bounds or goes out of bounds at the B21.
Okay, so we have a kick that's ended beyond the neutral zone, out of bounds at the 21-yard line.
Yep, and B will be next to put the ball in play.
Okay. There you go.
However, we have
fouls. Is there any fouls or violations?
We have a penalty for illegal batting by A12 at the B34.
Okay.
And that is a foul against the ball. So if I'm reading this right. Again, it's all different now that I'm on the spot all of a sudden. Right. But we should be enforcing that 10 yards from the B-34. So I believe the answer is B first and 10 from the B-44 on the snap.
Okay, Dwayne.
So let's start back again. So you gave a good piece of information when you said the result of the play, right?
Yes.
So you said who was going to next snap the ball. It was B.
B will next be to snap the ball. Yep.
All right. And so do we have all the so when you start saying that, first of all, it's a punt and it's a foul.
Yes.
The ball belongs to – so that what's the basic spot, I guess, is the question.
Basic spot on a kick play. It's not post-scrimmage because it wasn't a foul by B, so it's from the previous spot.
Yeah. And then there's another rule.
There's another regarding option there.
Eight fouls.
All fouls by the kicking team. I'll kind of start saying those words.
Well, all fouls by the kicking team are from the previous spot or from the or the subsequent spot.
That belongs to?
It belongs to team B.
Okay. Yes. So we got that.
So we got that. So if we enforce this,
where would we go
from and end up?
So we're going to be enforcing from the B-21 or the previous spot, which would be the.
Yeah, B's going to want the ball. So.
Yep, B's going to want the ball. Okay. So we're not going to enforce it from the B-45. So we're going to enforce this from the B-21.
Where would that take us?
That's going to take us to the B-31.
Okay. So now let's talk about the other item that we're just overlooking. That's so easy to do in this type of situation. What occurs when the kicking team touches the kick beyond the neutral zone during a scrimmage kick play? Can they legally touch the ball?
No, no.
So what is that? What are the terms to that, and what do we usually try and do mechanically when that happens?
We're going to have a beanbag down at the B-34 for illegal touching.
Okay, so now do you want to re-answer your?
So yeah, it's advantage for B to decline the penalty and take the ball at the spot of illegal touching. B first and 10 at the B-34 on the snap.
Yes, there we go. This one's challenging.
Very challenging. Really challenging. And I'm gonna give a shout out to where this came from because I got this today. It was a little different. Dwayne, we changed it a little bit because there was some other stuff in there that really kind of tried to fluff it up. So we took some stuff out, but this was from Frank Villar today. To a few of us in a little group. So this is from a Pac-12 referee. And so I thought, hey, this is a good question. Let's throw this in here for today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good question. You got me to think, that's for sure.
That's right.
Yeah, and just working through that is kind of what we want to do to help everybody.
Step by step by step.
Yeah. And I was just listening to your guys' episode preparing for this last night on basic spots, and I was like, oh, we got a foul against the ball. So anyway.
And then the other thing to remember is batting is touching. Batting is touching. Yeah. So I tend to forget that as well.
And the one thing that, when we go through the breakdown, right, what's the result of the play? XX. Is there a foul? And I always put foul or violation in my brain. And then, I check yes, yes, or no, no, or yes, no. And so this question, if I was to do that process, I would get a yes and a yes, and that would have keyed me into the ITK spot, at least to know where that is. And so that's the good way to work through it, and we did it, and we got to the right spot. That's what crews do. So there we go.
Oh, great advice. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Matt, thanks for coming on. Appreciate that, okay? Yep. Look in your inbox, all right?
Will do.
Okay, thank Matt. You. Take care.
You too.
Well, there's another one. Hey,
yeah,
that's how we got to do it. We got to work through it step by step by step. These aren't easy.
Yeah, it's this is like the hard, it's like announcements, right?
Yes.
Announcements harder when you're doing it in front of other officials.
Uh-huh.
And trying to answer a question in front of
the clock's ticking, man. The clock in your head is ticking.
In your head, yeah. So
that's why I kind of like this. This is like when you're on the field, you only got so much time to get through, to work through this stuff. And I think that kind of simulates some of that anxiety. And even though he's simply talking to me and you, maybe in the grand picture, it's more than that. Right. So that's what I think is good about this little challenge.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe we should get some soundtrack, like some fans are yelling or something like that.
We got to get Monty. Monty's got all that good stuff. We'll have to have Monty dial us in with some sound effects. So I like to give those guys a shout out from time to time. So, hey, listen, if you want a little bit more action on kicking and batting, you can find some more of that stuff in season one, episode 20. Okay.
Okay.
It's an oldie, but a goodie. Yeah. But if you want to get some batting and kicking talk, go back to one of the old episodes, episode 20.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So we're going to move on to the next. How to reach us. We do this every week.
If you want to be a part of the contest or just want to drop us a note, like a friend in New Jersey, James did, just email us at rule11officials@gmail.com. And we'd love you if you just want to say hi, or if you want to be part of the challenge, just let us know that as well. So
let's get that thing big, man. Come on.
And then website is rule11officials.com. And we're on Twitter at rule11officials. So,
hey, you know what I was thinking about regarding the website? I was looking at our camps page the other day.
Yeah.
And there's very few on there because so many are canceled at the moment. Correct?
Yeah.
Do I have that right?
That there is, and then I'm starting to see some that are actually going.
Okay.
There's a Facebook page. There's a Football Officials Facebook page, and I saw some comments about a couple that were going.
Okay.
That I haven't verified yet. So.
So what I was getting at is if somebody out there knows of some new camps or clinics that are happening or going to start or that are actually going to roll on this spring or this summer, hey, let us know and we'll promote you on the website. That way you can have some people get eyeballs on your promotion. So
good thought. Perfect.
What are we doing today?
We have a guest today.
Big time, baby.
Big time. Pac-12 referee Michael Mothershed.
Yes. Highly recommended. Our friend Roscoe is Roscoe's referee. And so this would be great. You'll hear it. Big fan.
One of the things I wanted to mention was I know folks generally like the rules discussions as opposed to the guest discussions, but I think you may be missing out on some good content and some good insight that may be able to help you. So definitely recommend you listen to our guest speakers when they do come on. If you can get one thing out of a podcast when you're listening to it, one learning. So anyway,
that's what I was just going to say.
Quiet because you're listening to it.
Literally. So that's what I was going to say. Usually you can get at least one thing out of every one of these conversations from someone. So absolutely. So we're going to looking forward to talking with Michael Mothershed here shortly. This will be fun. So quote of the week. What do you got, Dwayne?
Quote of the week. So this is from Angela Duckworth. I'm reading her book right now called Grit. And there's a quote. It says, three bricklayers are asked, what are you doing? The first says, I am laying bricks. The second says, I am building a church. And the third says, I am building the house of God. The first bricklayer has a job. The second has a career. The third has a calling. There you go.
That's out of that book. Yes. Okay. Angela Duckworth, Grit.
Yeah.
Find it in your local stores now. Thank you for that. Okay, let's take a quick pause. We'll come on with Michael and hear what he has to say.
You know, I'll start with kind of a ritual and what we do. And a lot of people may or may not like this. You know, Roscoe provides the music in the locker room. You know, Roscoe's great. If there's a foul, he gives me the information I need. Hey, Mike, it's an incomplete pass. No, it's a completed pass. That information is so vital. You probably, I don't know if you know this or not, but at the time, getting into the Pac-10, we came in as part-time officials. So we didn't have full schedules. So for the first 5 years, I only worked 4 or 5 games a season. You know, they look at the injuries, and then they look at how long does it take that player to recover to get back on the field. And, you know, those are a lot of things that we're not privy to. We don't see that type of information. You know, I have these great officials, and they were there to support me and to help me. And it gave me a level of comfort that really, you know, helped me to get better and better because I knew that they were there. Sometimes a little concerned with Roscoe's choice of music.
Okay. Hey, Dwayne, just like we talked about in the opening, another great guest and that we're pretty excited about because we've thought about Mr. Mothershed for a while. And then we got a good tip from one of our friends down south and said, hey, you really need to have this person on. So today we're talking, as we said, Mr. Michael Mothershed, refereeing the Pac-12, and we're excited about that. So, Michael, how are you today?
Good, good. Very good.
Yeah, that's great. Dwayne, go ahead. Anything?
Oh, I was just going to say thank you. It's a pleasure for us. You know, we watch you all the time. So it's a pleasure for you to come on, and we appreciate it. So thank you.
Yes.
No, I appreciate the opportunity. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, anything to get to know a little bit more about some of the people in his avocation around here. That's what we're trying to do. So we're going to kind of, I think, form this a little different. Usually we ask you to kind of go through your career, but we're going to kind of just jump into some of those questions like throughout the show. So we're going to do it a little different that way. We'll start kind of with some of the overall. So, you know, how and when did you start officiating football?
I started officiating in the mid-80s. It's been a while. I guess I'm dating myself. But started back in 1985 here in San Diego. I was born and raised here in San Diego and started with the local association and started at the very bottom, you know, working Pop Warner on Saturdays mornings and Saturday afternoons. And I was, I guess, really kind of fortunate. My second year, I was able to get on a high school crew. And I had the opportunity to really work with some very good referees. And they really kind of, you know, took me under their wing and really shared their knowledge. And that helped me off to a good, very good start.
Right now, I don't think you've officiated any other sports. Have you officiated other sports besides football?
No. Football's enough. it takes up a lot of time. And, you know, during the season and then, you know, off season, you know, there are things to do. So, I don't have time to do anything else but football.
I hear that.
So how did you get the officiating bug initially? Who got you into it?
You know, it was kind of strange. I worked for an insurance company for a while, and they closed their office here in San Diego. And as a result of that, I got a job with another insurance company. And, you know, I was thinking, I was starting off at the bottom there. I wanted to get into something. So I was fortunate in that I talked to an employee there, and her husband did basketball. And I told her, can your husband provide me with a contact for football? Because I like to get into officiating football. And that's kind of how we got started. You know, it's kind of strange. I was in management and I really felt, okay, football, that's going to help me to have good communication skills, to keep those skills. And, I played football in college. I played it in high school. And I have a love for the game. And so it was a perfect fit for me. And that's how I got started.
That's great.
Do you remember how you made the decision that you wanted to go into college officiating football? Because a lot of people do high school forever and they're fine with it. And but for some of us, you know, we want to kind of expand to the next level. So you remember
when I got into officiating and I had no idea about college. I was just, you know, Pop Warner doing a good job. You're working the chains, get on a high school crew and kind of go from there. So I didn't have any goals. Okay, I want to get to college, Division I at that point. And, you know, I learned as much as I could. And, you know, the good thing for me in working was that it was very mobile. I was a receiver in college and in high school, so I had good wheels. So that helped me tremendously. I remember my very first game in Pop Warner. I was at the local high school here, and I'm working the chains. One of the individuals on the chains, all of a sudden I'm looking over and he's throwing up. And it's like, I can't believe this, you know, and they stress the importance. If you can handle the chains and you do a good job, you're going to be noticed. And so that really kind of drove something home with me. So the very next week, I got my nephew. I talked to him and said, hey, can you work with me and work the chains? I will pay you. That way I knew for sure that I had someone on the chains that was going to help me, you know, progress and do well. So that's what I did.
There you go.
And it really helped me tremendously because I knew that down box was going to be correct. And he was a big help.
Yeah.
Very big help.
Did you look at that? You know, freelancing back in the getting the crew together. There we go.
Do what you got to do.
That's right. That's good stuff.
Right. Yeah.
For all of us, there's usually somebody influential or kind of at certain points in our officiating career, they're influential and help us either get to the next level or give us a philosophy or something like that. Who are those people for you in your career and kind of how were they influential?
Number one, it was Don Carey. Don taught one of the classes, and you know, from there, you know, he kind of saw how I was doing and kind of took me under his wing and, you know, really helped me tremendously. You know, I kept my mouth shut and just listened as much as I could and tried to do what they were telling me to do. And I guess being a sponge. You know, he took to me and helped me tremendously. When Don got into the Pac-10 at the time, he was there for about 3 years. After those 3 years, he was elevated to, was accepted into the National Football League and, you know, worked with me. And I went up and worked some scrimmages at USC, UCLA, and I was accepted. And he had a lot to do with that, and talking to the time of the coordinator was Burl Sorgan, talking to him and letting him know, hey, you know, Michael Mothershed's a good up and coming official, and I think he would do well in the conference.
Yeah, relationships are so important in this avocation for a lot of reasons, you know, and advancement networking is one of them. So just another story. So how about if you could say one thing that you could pick out of all the memories and all the influential items that he gave you, what do you think was one of the most important or the one that's taken you the furthest?
I would say do what got you there.
Yeah.
You know, don't try to change for different people, you know, stay true to yourself and you will be successful because that's what people see.
Sure. 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 Nice. Okay.
Before you get to the next question, Tyler, one follow up. Uh-huh. So when you got, when you got into the Pac-12, what position did you work?
You know, when I got in, I was at the time, I was a side judge. And what was really, I guess, unique about all of this was that in San Diego, you couldn't get into officiating college, junior college, until like your fifth year in the association. So, you know, I had to wait, which was good, you know, and I felt I was somewhat ready. And when I went up to LA, I mean, those guys, they didn't know me from Adam. You know, who is this person? And, you know, we really impressed. I don't know if you know John Pemberton. John Pemberton was an umpire in the PAC, long time. And he was at SC with myself, Tim Pedraza, and there was another official from San Diego as well. I can't think of his name right now. But he looked at all three of us, hey, I'll take any one of those guys. And we were very fortunate because John was also on our side. And he felt, hey, these guys, they're up and coming officials. You know, they did a nice job at the scrimmage. And he had never seen us. I had never seen them. So this was really, going up to LA was, you know, was brand new for me. And I was very, very fortunate to get in. And when we had our meetings, our study meetings, and I went to the first one, people were looking around like, who is this person? Because they had never seen me before. And the other officials in San Diego at the time who were in the pack was Roger McMahon and another official by the name of Manny Alonso. But they hadn't heard of me, didn't know of me at all. So I was extremely fortunate to be able to get in at the time.
Yeah, good, nice. So I usually try and keep some things light from time to time. So when you went to the pack as a side judge, you didn't happen to bring along the box guy with you, did you? Throw him in as a ball person to help you?
No. He stayed in San Diego.
There you go. Okay. Seriously though. So I know this answer because I looked through your career a little bit, and I know the answer, but some people probably don't. When did you go from side judge to a crew chief?
You know, I became a crew chief in 2014. It took some time. I don't know if you know this or not, but at the time getting into the Pac-10, we came in as part-time officials. So we didn't have full schedules. So for the first 5 years, I only worked 4 or 5 games a season.
Okay.
And, another person that came in with me at the time, who worked this last Super Bowl was Carl Cheffers. So there were 6 of us that came in 95. And so I didn't get my first full season until 2000.
So when you worked those part-time officiating the Pac-10, did you continue to work some junior college ball down there? Or how'd you balance your schedule?
I worked some junior college ball in San Diego. As a result on my off weekends. And for the first year, I still had a partial crew for high school.
Okay.
And worked high school as well. But then after the second year, I gave that up because I felt it wasn't fair to other officials, you know, to take that spot.
Sure. That's great. At least trying to, go ahead, Dwayne.
Oh, I was just going to follow up on the crew chief discussion. Did you like want to become a crew chief, or did somebody kind of tag you for it, or, you know, how did that work out? Did you put your
you know, hat? I was kind of in a unique situation. Burl Sorgan left the conference as a coordinator in 2006. Kataya in 2007 became the coordinator of officials. And at that time, you know, I was thinking about, you know, giving a shot at being a referee. So in spring of 2007, I worked the spring game at UCLA. And at the time, the head coach there was Carl Durrell. And so after scrimmage was over, you know, Dave Kataya came in the locker room and said, hey, I wanted to make an announcement that Michael Mothershed is going to get at one game during the regular season as a referee. And that was true. So what's kind of unique from 2007 through 2013, I got either one or two games a season as a referee. Okay. So it gave me an opportunity to kind of really ease into it, understand what would, it was about, you know, work some post or preseason games, and get, really get my feet wet. And it really helped. It really helped.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah.
Right on.
We kind of skipped over one kind of milestone in your career. Mm-hmm. And you worked a national championship game, didn't you?
I did in 2007, between Florida and Ohio State.
Oof. Okay. And where was that held at?
It was in Phoenix. It was in Phoenix.
Huh?
Okay. At the new state University of Phoenix Stadium there.
Yep.
I don't know if they have a different name for it now, but
the giant toaster.
That's where the game was.
Oh, okay.
Pardon?
I said the giant toaster. I think that's the nickname or something like that.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about that experience? I mean, that must have been a highlight of your career at the time.
It was. It was one of the highlights of my career, you know, working that. And it's really, it's strange because I'll kind of set it up for you. That year, you know, we didn't know if we were going to get the national championship game. And it really came down to the traditional in Los Angeles. And USC was playing UCLA. And that year, UCLA beat USC. And that was an upset.
Oh, yeah.
And what was really unique about it, I'm at home. I had a good season. I didn't have any downgrades at all. And I looked at my wife and I said, you know what? I think we're getting the national championship and I have a good chance of working that.
Yeah.
And that came true. And it was an incredible experience. Just, you know, the fanfare, my wife and my son went with me, but you know, how they treated you, you know, going to dinner, but the game itself, you know, you're out there doing warmups, the players are out there, you see the fans, they're taking pictures, you see all these lights going on, and it's really hard to, describe. I mean, it was an incredible atmosphere. And then, you know, all of a sudden the teams go in and you're going back into the locker room and it's like, okay, this is it. You know, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a kickoff and Ted Ginn Jr. runs it back for a touchdown. And, you know, he's coming on my side. Yeah. And I'm backpedaling. I turn around. It's like, oh, no, he's going to catch me. He's going to catch me. So he catches me and passes me and beats me over goal line.
Yeah.
And at that point, it's like, okay, this is big time.
Yeah.
You know, these guys have speed. And it's a great, great atmosphere. I really wish that everybody would have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Because it's something that you have in your memories. The speed of the game, the players. Florida had outstandingly at very skilled players who had outstanding speed, and you know, they came to play, and the head coach was Urban Meyer. Mm-hmm. And I was on his sideline. I knew I had my hands full because I had him before when he was at Utah in a bowl game, but you know, the players played, and Ohio State, they were expecting Ohio State to win, and Florida won the game. But it was a good experience, you know, something that I'll have with me and cherish for the rest of my life. And I'm glad I was able to share that with my family.
Yeah.
And that means a lot.
Oh, I bet. Would it be out of line to ask you who your crew members were, that game?
Jack Folger was a referee.
Okay.
Rudy Feldman was the line judge, and we had worked together all season. Tim Morris was the umpire. Jim Rennie was the head linesman. Brad Glenn was the side judge. And I can't think of the back judge. He was out of Washington State, out of the Spokane area.
Okay.
And his name escapes me right now.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. We're in Washington. I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, he was over in the Spokane area.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting.
But you and your sideline partner were together all year, so you had that familiarity in the during game time.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And that was great. You know, yeah. He was a great line judge, and we bonded very well throughout the season, and it was really nice to be able for us to work that game together.
That's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Any follow-ups, Dwayne?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So let's jump back to referee and crew chief questions. This is a question I always think about quite often, honestly. What does crew cohesiveness mean to you, and how important is it to try and achieve that?
It's extremely important. And what it means to me is that, you know, everybody's all on one accord. We know the importance. We're all together. We have that common goal. Mm-hmm. And I have been extremely fortunate. The crew that I have, we've been together for six, almost 7 years. And we've had a couple of changes here and there. But I tell you, the guys, they're great. I have seen them improve. They have helped me. And we are all striving for the same goal. And that is to go out and officiate a ball game and do it the best that we possibly can. We're going to make mistakes, but let's not let that get in our way of doing a good job. And work on, from week in, week out, work on those things to get better and better and better. And I think the crew has, you know, my umpire is Roscoe.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And Roscoe does an outstanding job. He really does. Matt Dornan does a great job. Mm-hmm. You know, Kurt Mattson does a great job. And, you know, Steve Hudson, Michael Hall, Mike Westlow. And we got a new official this past season, Justin Elliott from Conference USA.
Okay.
And he's done a good job. He's only worked a couple of games. But he's going to be a great official. Cool. He's got a lot of potential. So I'm very fortunate. I have a good crew. We get along on and off the field. And I think that is
That's so important.
Yeah. Yeah. To be able to do that.
Yeah. 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 We love us some Roscoe. That's for sure.
We do.
Yeah.
So one of the guys you just mentioned said to me, and I quote, that he would run through a wall for you.
Yeah.
So,
really,
Roscoe? Yeah.
As a testament to
how does that make you feel? I mean, that's gotta feel good to have, to know that that relationship you have with those men you work with that would, you know, do anything for you.
That's huge. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's huge. You know, it's when I started in 2014 as a full time referee. You know, you have to build your confidence. And you know, I have these great officials, and they were there to support me and to help me. And it gave me a level of comfort that really, you know, helped me to get better and better because I knew that they were there. Mm-hmm. You know, they were there to support me, to support the crew, and to make sure that we were successful. You know, Roscoe's great. If there's a foul, he gives me the information I need. Hey, Mike, it's an incomplete pass. No, it's a completed pass. That information is so vital because a lot of times when the official is trying to provide you with the foul information and you say, what's the result of the play? You get a blank stare. Yeah. So I don't ask my officials that because I have that information already. So I think it helps us to become a little more efficient in dispensing with the penalty. You know, if it's something that's simple and it's just, Roscoe's just, it's great to have him to provide that information. And he's always there. And you know when the crew is clicking by the way that we're able to officiate.
Okay, that's great. So one more quick question. 2014, you said your crew's been together 6 years. So if I'm going to do the math right, was there any of those folks that were with you and how many of them your first year at full-time referee?
Most of them are still
with them. Most of those folks were, except for a couple.
Yeah. Nice. So I'm fortunate.
Yeah.
And I hopefully won't have any changes this coming season. Knock on wood.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. There you go.
Yeah, that's great. So a little bit kind of around game day and game week preparation. What does your game week prep look like? And do you have any special pregame rituals? Do you any routines that you kind of always go through?
You know, I'll start with kind of a ritual and what we do. And a lot of people may or may not like this. You know, Roscoe provides the music in the locker room. And I think that is really critical to have officials loose. Mm-hmm. I have been on some crews where it's quiet, it's tense, nobody wants to say anything. And I want the crew to be loose. You know, it's like being a player. You know, they have loud music in the locker room. And that's fine. Sometimes a little concerned with Roscoe's choice of music. But he does. He provides that, and that's something that the crew needs. You know, we at the beginning of the season, you know, we have our normal crew duties. Who's responsible for certain things, and guys are very responsible. During the week, I'm looking at film. I'm looking at the previous game, and I'm looking at the fouls that were called. Do I agree or disagree? And sometimes I'll get an opportunity to talk with the grader about those. And I look at things that were not evaluated by the grader. And I think those things are very helpful. Nobody saw this. And I try to pull things out. Yeah. And I try to stress that during our game, our pregame, hey, this is something the graders didn't see. How can we do a better job in this? And I think the crew has really bought into the fact that we're trying to get better. We're going to make mistakes. So let's look at this. Let's talk about it and see if we can prevent it from happening again. If we're confronted with this, we're going to do a better job the next time. So I look at film throughout the week. I think it's important. Roscoe will put plays together for the game coming up, the home team. And then I have the center judge doing the visitors. And it does a couple of things. Roscoe does a good job. He'll play, he'll look at formations. Center judge on my crew will most likely at some point become a referee. I did it with Mike McCabe. So it helps them to kind of get used to looking at film and helping to prepare the crew for their next game. What's important? What should the officials know if they have, you know, certain types of formations? How are we going to officiate that? And I think that's important because we want to be prepared. You know, I do physical fitness through the week. You know, I got to get my exercise in, and I think that's important. You know, I'll read sections of the rule book. And another thing I think, which is really crucial, is practicing announcements.
Yeah,
that is, you know, you have to practice. And my thing is, I want it to be just like we're doing right now. I want it to be conversational. You know, false start, number 76 offense, you know, 5-yard penalty, still third down. I want it to come across as smooth and as accurate as possible. Mm-hmm. And so I practice. And it's great because I'll be in a game and I'll have a foul and it's like, wow, you practice this a couple of times. And it's just, it just rolls off of your tongue. And that's what people see. And, you know, I really, there's a couple of things, you know, because everybody says you're the face of the crew. Well, I guess that's true because you're making the penalty announcements. But we're together as a team. Mm-hmm. And if somebody doesn't give me the right information and I announce the wrong number, you know, that's on the crew. Mm. You know, that reflects on us. So it's important for us to be as accurate as possible. And we've gotten better. And there's some official, hey, you got to work on this. And they have. And that's what's really nice about this, that they are all willing to do their best for the crew. Yeah. And it reflects on everybody when we do that.
Right. Yeah, you know, I heard a couple things that have been consistent statements from other people all over the place, and I think it's great to hear it even again, is you know, you mentioned that you chat with a grader on grades, and but then we also find the plays that weren't evaluated or weren't graded, and that's the effort of that self-evaluation that I think is where we really learn, right? Because we're our own worst critic most of the time, but that's just another evidence that we're striving for you know, that perfection goal, which is impossible, but because we're humans, yeah. But yeah, I've heard that so much more, and this is nothing new. I'm sure everybody out there is probably going to shake their head. Yeah, we do that too, and that's what's important is the grades are the grades, but what can we find that we, God, how can we get this? How can we see this? And I think those are the great conversations to have, especially as a crew, and it's cool to keep hearing that same thing that so we all know we're kind of in the right direction. So it's cool to hear that again.
I think you'd be surprised, right? Everybody doesn't. There's people out there that see their grades and they got all CCs. They think they did a good job and yeah. move on to the next game, right? So it is refreshing yeah. to hear.
Yeah, it's important
that you guys do that.
It's very important.
Yeah. You know, the other part, and I'll add this in, is that I think you have to be honest with yourself and with your crew. And I will look at a play and I'll say, you know what? I missed it. I didn't see that. And I'll make a comment about something. And I think the graders appreciate the honesty. Mm-hmm. If you get marked down, you get marked down. But it's like, you know, I should have done a better job on this. And I think it's just being honest with yourself. And that's how you become a better official. You're not trying to hide something.
Yeah. Dwayne and I were talking earlier this week, and I think the such an important part about not only saying, you know, I missed this, but the question is why. Football plays in themselves, not just the play design, but a specific play is so unique in its own that not one is the same. It's mm-hmm. like a snowflake. Everyone is different in some right. form or fashion or another, which is like art, right? And so you, as a football official, the question of why is the puzzle piece. And that's what kind of keeps the brain turning. Like, okay, how can I get this next time? What happened over here that took my attention? What happened over there that took his attention or her attention? And I think that's the ultimate, like, God, how am I going to achieve this over time? And that's what I think is really fun to try and figure out. Cause it's, again, it's tough, but that's what we try to do, I think. And I like to hear that. Dwayne, you got any follow-ups on that?
No, that was great. I mean, at another time, I'd love to pick your brain about some other deeper subjects, but mm-hmm. for the purpose of this, we can move on.
Okay.
We have one kind of, I guess, off topic here. You played a role in the rules committee in like 2017, I think it was, according to Tyler.
That's Greaser. Correct. Yes.
So can you talk about that? What was that all about? What was your role, really?
That was, it was very, it was interesting being in a room full of football coaches from different conferences and from different division levels. And just their thought process, how they thought about the game, you know, what they liked, what they didn't like. And I remember talking at the time, it was the head coach at Arkansas, and he used to be at Wisconsin. And they were talking about defense blocking below the waist and having it from 5 yards beyond the neutral zone to 5 yards behind that 10-yard buffer. You know, we talked about that, and eventually that's the rule today. But it was, they always wanted to talk about targeting. We had a couple of reporters in the meetings as well, and of course they didn't like targeting. You know, that's not football. And it was really interesting because Rogers, at the time was there, and Steve Shaw was there. You know, it was all about safety. And I think my last year on the committee, we talked about the fair catch on kickoffs. And what their concern was that, you know, something needed to be done because of the number of injuries on kickoffs. And if something wasn't done, they felt that, you know, that aspect of the game might be taken out. So that's where the fair catch came in to play. And I believe one of the Ivy League schools, Harvard, actually had experimented with that the year before and was very successful. And so finally that was passed. And I think it's a great rule. And, you know, the talk at the time was, this is really going to be beneficial to Division II, Division III sure. colleges. But you see a lot of Division I colleges, you know, the receivers are back there and they're catching the ball. Sure. They're not running them back. Sure. And so it's really beneficial for everybody in football. And it's a good rule because I think the number of injuries have gone down. You know, they look at the injuries and then they look at how long does it take that player to recover to get back on the field? Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are a lot of things that we're not privy to. We don't see that type of information, but, you know, that is essential because if a player gets hurt, how long is he out? Is it a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Well, that affects the team. So it was a good experience for me to be a part of that, to have some conversations with different coaches. And, you know, there was a coach out of Detroit, and we got to talking. He was the head coach at Wayne State. He says, I see you on TV. You know, and it's like, wow, you know, and you don't know, but a lot of people are watching, you know, us work ball games, and we don't realize that. So we had some good conversations. So it was a good time for me.
Okay, so were you the only official, or they had a few more?
I was the only official. Only one.
Okay, so more or less to kind of have the perspective of a football official on some just some talking points. Okay,
correct. Right, to bring the official's perspective in to when we're talking about rules, and from an officiating standpoint, is this something that can be officiated well, or is it going to be difficult? And I think, you know, what officials have to say, I think they listened. Mm-hmm. I think it's very beneficial. And I had the opportunity to do that for 2 years. So it was a great experience.
Right on. That's cool. Yeah, I was always really curious about that.
I think it's a little funny that, you know, fans and coaches get us on us about the rules and and we don't make them. There's one official in the room. And most of the coaches are, you know, deciding these rules, and they still kind of complain about them. But
part of the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Part of the game.
But yeah, you know, there were some things that, you know, you could point out to the coaches. Now, you know, you want this officiated, you know, very well as an official. This is hard to officiate. You know, you're going to be yelling and screaming at us, and we're telling you right. I'm telling you now, that's going to be hard to do. So I think they listen, and there are different, you know, things that coaches look for depending upon what their division is. You know, Division I coach will have certain things that he's concerned about as opposed to Division II, Division III. And a Division I school, they're going to have plenty of players. Well, Division II or Division III, they're limited in the number of players they have. So when they have injuries, that really affects those squads. And that's, you know, they were concerned about their
injuries. Yeah. That's another, I guess, point that most probably don't think about that's a great point. It affects the lower level schools more, even though we're under one umbrella and one book. Specific changes could affect another institution more than another. So that's interesting. How are you selected for this? Is this something peers vote you for, or conference? They go from conference to conference year. Like
no,
rotation?
You know, I just it's rotated by conferences.
Okay,
and you know, I David Coleman talked to me and said he'd be interested. So it was a great opportunity, and you know, I'll come back around to our conference at some point in time. And so another official will have an opportunity. So
okay,
really, it's great. It's a good experience. Very good experience.
That's cool. Well, Dwayne, do you have anything else?
No. It was great talking to you, Michael. Just just a well-rounded career so far and still going. So we're glad that you allowed us to take a glimpse into that.
So we really appreciate you taking the time to come on here and hang out with us a little bit and share some of your wisdom and your experiences and all of that great stuff. So Michael, thank you for coming on here.
Yeah. Tyler and Dwayne, it was great to be invited. I appreciate the opportunity to share some information with you and, you know, things about football and hopefully maybe you found something, learned something new.
Every time.
But really, thanks for having me. I truly appreciate it.
Yes. It's our pleasure for sure. So here's looking out to 2021 and hopefully some stadiums with fans and a regular season and everybody healthy moving forward and we can get back to some normalcy. So, Michael, thank you so much. And take care, stay safe, and hopefully run into you sometime down the road.
Okay, yeah, thank you, and do the same.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
Well, as usual, I mean, never disappointed. At least I'm not talking with these folks. They've been there, done that. You can always pull something from their experience. That is an absolute fact. And that's what happened for me today. I don't know about you guys, but.
Just long, long quality career.
Mm-hmm.
It's just good to hear insights from him. And you can tell he's a grounded sort of down to earth kind of human being, and his crewmates love him.
Oh yes.
So
we heard that, right? Something you mentioned.
Yeah. So
that's not a testament to your body of work or your people skills, I don't know what is. So if you can get your crewmates to run through a wall, quote unquote, for you, that's something that to say for. So
yeah, that's all. That's pretty awesome.
Yep. Anything else, Dwayne?
No, that's another one in the books for us.
That's it. I don't know what number this is. No idea, but
getting closer to 100.
We are. We're getting close. We're getting close, and we're getting close to summer, which is the thing I like. And I mean, who knows? You might be listening to this in 2024. I don't know. In December,
right?
But anyways, it's been fun. Another great week. Looking forward to some more work and getting better every time.
Well said.
Okay, Dwayne, we'll talk to you again soon.
Yep. Sounds good.
Okay. Bye-bye.